Welcome to your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamos Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. I'm here today with my co-host, Catherine.
Hello.
Well, Catherine, there are several ways people can connect with us. Would you like to share some of those?
Sure. Our producer's shaking her head no.
Oh, okay.
I think there's sarcasm in the room today.
There may be. There generally is.
Okay. On Facebook, search Dunamos Center Ministries. Dunamos is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. On Twitter, go to @yourdunamoslife. We would love to see an email from you, which is dunamoslife@dunamoscenter.com. We welcome any questions, comments, concerns, disagreements.
Agreements.
Yeah. Our website is simply dunamoscenter.com. And as always, there's a good old telephone to reach us in Colorado Springs at 719-231-7183.
And Dunamos on all of those is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. So we look forward to hearing from you, and we are also, over the next few months, going to be reformatting our website and things like that, so do keep an eye out. By fall, we should have a whole new look, a whole new format, and part of that's going to be podcasting, so we're really looking forward to that, to be able to bring you, you know, shorter clips, longer clips, just whatever's on our heart.
Right. I am totally excited about the possibility of podcasting and all that might open up for people to be able to subscribe easier and
right, and all they that could jazz. Even have it just come automatically into their devices. And so, yeah, it's going to be a really good transition. But in the meantime, our website right now is rather functional for finding out all about our marriage counseling, our birth education, what books we have available, you know, that sort of thing, and events that are coming up. And so keep an eye there for now.
Yep.
So, Catherine, we're going to talk today about how our selfishness ruins our marriages.
Yes. Selfishness can get into many areas of our lives.
Yes. And today we're going to talk about the marriage in particular. And then we're also going to be doing a show on how it affects our children right through pregnancy, birth, and into parenting.
Correct.
One of the things that I always point out to couples when they come into my office for a marriage intensive right on the first day is I actually assume that the husband is 99% self-focused. And hang on, ladies, because I assume you're 99% self-focused too. And that's where we're starting.
Right. That is probably, unfortunately, a pretty good assumption.
Yes. And it really is. And part of it is because culturally, we've been told to be selfish.
Right. Can you explain that a little more?
Well, you know, really starting back in the 60s and into the 70s, I was a teenager in the 1970s.
Okay.
We were actually called the Me Generation.
Oh.
Okay, I don't know if you knew that.
I don't think I'd heard that.
Oh, yes. We were
I mean, there was baby boomers, but...
Yes, and the baby boomers were the 50s, 60s, you know, since the World War II into about 1960, it might slide to 62.
Right.
So it's funny because I'm, you know, 1960, I'm on the cusp of the boomers and the me generation.
Okay.
So when you really look at those, you'll see interesting aspects of both kind of come out in me. So I guess that just means I'm confused, if you want to put it that way.
No.
We were actually called the me generation when I was a teenager because it was all about me. How does it impact me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that thinking of, you know, if it feels good, do it. That was a slogan in the 70s.
Right. Glove, not war.
Yeah, that came out of the 60s, but it kind of slid into the early 70s because the Vietnam War was still going on and that sort of thing. It was also the beginning of, you know, they talk about the sexual revolution in the 1960s, but it was really our generation that was seeing it as, you know, rite of passage almost, just to become sexually active as a teenager. That was the beginning of all of that thinking. And so I do take it as, you know, our fault. what we kind of see today, my generation, and maybe 10 years up.
It's interesting that now we have, isn't there something called the I generation?
Like, which is like
coming from iPhones, iPads,
Yeah, it's a lot of the I stuff. Mm-hmm. But it really, a lot of people forget that the 70s was the me generation.
Mm.
And out of that, I now have couples in my office for counseling all the way from their 60s down to the, you know, premaritals. And everybody's all about me, you know.
Right.
He's not meeting me, my needs. Mm-hmm. She's not caring about me. And so what ends up happening is we end up turning towards, well, I'll just make myself happy. And if you've got both partners in a marriage doing that, you start focusing on how the other person isn't just focusing on you. I mean, why isn't he just caring about me and everything that makes me happy?
Right. There is, I think, a phrase in culture today that's, well, it's all about me.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So...
so if you've got two people in a house and both are thinking,
it's all about
me, what's going to happen to that? Are we even going to have a relationship?
Right, because my wants, needs, desires are different from your needs, wants, desires. But I'm not thinking about yours. I'm thinking about mine.
And you should change and meet mine.
Okay. No, no, no.
No, no.
You should change and meet mine.
Okay, yeah. So now where do we go with that? How do we ever resolve that?
Well, do you have some suggestions? I mean, it seems like it needs to be a conscious decision to change that, to think differently.
Well, what ends up happening, as we know, Catherine, in the church is I hear a lot of, how do I put this? I guess I'll just say it, really bad advice from older Christian women to the young Christian women on this issue. Because we're trying to address that selfishness. We know biblically it says not to think of ourselves first. You know, you and I were talking about a few different passages just a little while ago. One in Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians 4. So when we go to Ephesians 4, what do we see there?
Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Okay, so we give that advice, biblical, sound, right, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And we give no tools for how to do it. Okay. We just say do it.
Yeah.
And then we throw around things like, well, you just have to change your mind, you know, because 2 Corinthians says, you know, take your thoughts captive. And
because, renew your mind.
Yeah, because we all have that selfishness in us. We all have that sense of lack. Our culture is... make yourself happy, be happy. And I'm not happy because it's all about me and not, you know, everybody else is all about themselves and they're not all focusing on me because they're all focusing on themselves and I'm supposed to focus on them. And, you know, it just gets very circular and very strange.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I say, well, just stop focusing on you and focus on everybody else. So now what do I do with the heart pain or the heart damage that I already have from all this other stuff?
Good question. Got to do something with it.
Right.
Because if you just stuff it, it'll turn into...
right, which is what ends up happening.
Yeah.
Is a lot of women are stuffing who they really are, or even the husbands. And unfortunately, sometimes you have to, you know, it's like the fireproof thing where you just do all these things that are focused on the other person. And granted, we can... and we can learn how to do that. But if we don't look at what's really going on in our own hearts, we end up in conflict until it's just behavior. It's just behavior. It's not any real change in the heart.
Right. There's, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, what's in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth and be manifest in your actions. So you're right. It's so important to take care of that heart issue and what's going on with that.
Right. So when I get selfish, I start pursuing this happiness thing. It's very circular in that I should be happy. I'm not happy. You should make me happy. You're not making me happy, but I have a right to be happy, but I'm not happy. And so what we do is we get so focused on the problem that the Bible never even says we should be happy.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I don't see a scripture for that.
No. I see joy in the Lord.
Right. Yes.
Okay. So I'm not having joy in the Lord because I'm not happy because you're not making me happy. And I have a right to be happy. And I'm focused on me. And you're not focused on me.
Yeah.
So I'm not happy and I'm not joyful.
Because I'm not happy.
Because I'm not happy.
And it's all about me.
And it's all about me. Okay. So there we go. So then a Christian comes along and says, you know, but you're supposed to have joy in the Lord.
How?
Again, it's like we throw scriptures around at people and we beat them over the head with them as if that's going to pound a truth in. And then miraculously, all their thinking in their whole life is going to turn around. And they're just going to be this pleasant wife. I see it on, you know, in the women's Bible studies. I hear it. I see it on Facebook pages for Christian wives and things like that. When they say, I'm unhappy, I don't know what to do. I love my husband. We're not connecting. He's doing his thing. I'm doing my thing. And they give them that advice. Well, just behave this way. You know, what we just said, you know. And so it's like as if that's going to magically change their husbands.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard the concept of, well, if you change your actions, then your thoughts will follow.
Not if we're recycling all the negative thoughts while we're doing the action.
Right.
Right.
So it really does seem like it's of great importance to change the way you're thinking and
right.
what you're feeling right. in your heart.
Right. And it doesn't mean don't change your actions till that all catches up. It's sort of like it has to happen at the same time.
Yeah.
And we have to be very intentional with what do we focus our attention on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I was, you know, looking at some materials this week as to whatever we put our attention on amplifies that thing.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that put another way, what you focus on is what develops.
Right. And mm-hmm. so I can be doing the right action. I can be, you know, cooking his dinner. I could be smiling. I can be, you know, saying, how can I care for you better? And all of that. But inside, I can be just seething.
I know. If you're saying, how can I help you?
Right.
With resentment in your heart.
It's going to come through.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, what do I do first? Well, there's two elements to that, attacking that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Philippians, you had there where it talks about thinking of others as more highly than yourself. Go ahead and
read
that. Right.
Yeah. So Philippians 2, I'll start in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And then I think Paul kind of goes on to clarify that last statement a little
right.
bit. In verse 4, he says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. So it's not that we need to think of ourselves as a worm or I'm no
right,
good
right.
because that puts the focus back on ourselves again.
Right.
But like Paul says in verse 4, you know, think of other people, think of their interests and, you know, look to.
Right. And so what I find in these conversations that I was talking about with regard to that.
Yeah.
Is there really is a selfish ambition in I'm going to treat my husband really well. Because I want to get something, okay? And it's,
yeah.
it's I'm just again saying none of us can get our motives pure this side of heaven, so it doesn't mean we shouldn't pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to look at a couple of things as we're trying to change our heart condition. One is the pride
yeah.
that comes in. And when you said it's not that you should be looking at yourself as a worm because then you're still focused on yourself, there's some elements of pride. Now, we have a sheet that we use here at the center that helps identify, well, what really is pride? And if you go to our Blog Talk Radio page for this show,
mm-hmm.
you'll be able to click a link and pull this up on our website so you can take a look at it because it has both the pride and what the reversal would be. So
you mean like there's examples of what we might say to ourselves.
Right.
And we may not recognize them as pride right away.
Right.
But this is saying, yeah, that is pride.
Right, absolutely. And one that I remember when I was a housewife that I struggled with a lot was this very first one,
yeah.
wanting to be recognized and appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think housewives should be recognized and appreciated by their family,
mm-hmm.
especially. But at the same time, it was just this, nobody appreciates anything I do for them, and nobody, you know, recognizes how hard I work every day to make them food or whatever.
I'm doing this cleaning, but nobody says anything that it looks good, so why do I even bother?
Yes, exactly. So, you know, a response to that is not caring who gets the credit and being eager for others to be recognized. So there's like a prayer that goes with this, to recognize and break the pride, and then asking the Lord to help us to respond by, you know, not caring. That
I was just going to say, not caring who gets the credit and being eager for others to be recognized sounds like something kind of hard that I might not be able to do on my own.
No, that's why I might have to pray.
God's help, yes.
So a lot of times what we do is we say, just be, you know, eager to focus on other people, because the scripture says, and you just read it.
Yeah.
And then we are like, but I can't do it, so I'm a bad Christian.
Yeah.
So now we're focused on ourselves and how bad of a Christian wife we are.
Yeah.
So when we say something like this, first we have to recognize what we're doing that is the pride. We have to get that plucked out. We don't pluck the pride statement out. We just go after, this is what you should do instead.
Mm-hmm. And we don't recognize what elements might be pride in ourselves to make us feel worse, but to identify them so that we can remove them, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And in between here might be some forgiveness work. And we've done some shows on forgiving, even in the marriage. And there's, if you find those, there's some links even to what forgiveness sheets look like, what emotional pain words might be behind them. So, yeah, I might need to actually spend some time forgiving my husband. That's one prayer. Forgiving my children, each one of them. That's, you know, for me, three more prayers by name.
For not recognizing
and appreciating me, which then might cause me to feel unappreciated, put down, not important,
not
unnoticed, not cared for. And then, I choose to forgive and pay that emotional pain and consequence and, you know, release it to the Lord and take that ground from the enemy.
Yes.
Now, I need to choose to reverse that by not caring who gets the credit and being eager for others to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
So all those elements are important, because our selfishness is ruining our relationships, and especially marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every marriage, you know, granted, some are split up for abuse and addictions and adulteries. Okay,
right.
That seems reasonable.
And that's not really our topic today.
No. But the majority of them are because, well, you just don't make me happy, and I'm going to go find somebody who'll make me happy.
Yeah.
And so I have to recognize this. So let's kind of go quickly through some of the pride. Having hurt feelings when others are promoted and I'm overlooked.
That, yeah.
A tendency to focus on myself rather than others.
Hello. That's me. Oh, no.
Yeah. So we want to blame others for their failures. So how often do we blame our husbands for not being perfect at making sure we're happy?
Can you go a little bit more on how that's pride? I'm trying to understand that.
Okay.
If we're blaming others
for their failures.
For their failures.
Right. When they're just human beings just like us.
Right.
We fail. We make mistakes. We get it wrong.
Right.
We want to be forgiven. We want to be given grace.
Right.
And we don't give it to the other person.
Right. So it's kind of not extending grace and compassion. And
right. So we don't know how to do all this right. We don't know how to focus on them, but then we're blaming them for not knowing how to focus on us. Okay. So,
I understand
now there's
more.
A spiral problem going on.
Mm-hmm.
Being defensive when criticized.
Yes.
You know, there's some people who are just going to be critical all the time, but there's some people that you can't say anything to about, you know, if you would do this different, you'd have a better outcome, and they just go ballistic.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, because it's all about me, and I'm doing it right anyway, and, you know, and you're so happy.
I'm plugging my ears. La, 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 la.
Yeah. A lot of people are very concerned about what others think of them, so, you know, that's a self-focus, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Struggling to admit when I have failed another person. Okay, so now I'm blaming my spouse for his failure and not knowing how to do it.
Right.
But I fail to acknowledge and recognize that I'm failing him, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I do the marriage intensives together, so both partners can learn how to reverse this. Because if she's focusing on his need, he's focusing on her need, you're both going to get what you need. And neither one of those things needs to happen.
Okay. It makes me think back to what we read in Philippians 2:4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others.
Yes.
So, you know, if we don't think about, well, we still need to recognize when we failed, but we don't need to dwell on it. And we need to think about the interests of the other person.
Right.
And giving them the benefit of the doubt, kind of.
And it doesn't say there not to have any interest in yourself.
Right, right. That's true.
Yep. You know, because you do need to care for yourself. You do need to care for yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually, in the sense that now I can be strong enough to focus on other people.
Yeah.
Even more.
Mm-hmm.
So that I don't need them so much to do everything to make me happy.
Right. Right.
Viewing others as lower than myself. Oh my gosh. Do you know how much I hear this from women who are really strong Christians and their husband might be, you know, like not in his leadership role so much as he should be, needs to be, and could be, but they view them as, I should have married better.
Mm. Yeah.
He's not as good as I am or as spiritual as I am. And their husbands feel it.
Yeah. And that does nothing to help them to be in that leadership position, to help them to
want
yeah,
to do
want
more
to
for
grow
you.
Into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of an attitude of, I do everything. I'm better than you at it. I read my Bible every day. You don't. You know, those kind of attitudes come out. Now, I'm not saying those things aren't good things and not for us to pray and desire for our husband to be able to do it. But is my attitude towards him that he's lower than me because of it?
Yeah, that's what we need to watch out for.
Right. Here we are, wanting others to meet my need.
We've been talking about that one. Yes.
That's the whole show, isn't it? Pursuing self-advancement.
So that would be something like, well, I was offered this promotion that makes us move across the country, and I want it, so we're just going to go.
Right, without any consideration for impact on other people. Or nobody else will tell me how good I am, so I go around bragging about how good I am all the time.
Okay, yeah.
I'm self-promoting, you know.
Oh, right.
See, and I'm making other people, you know, have to see. So, or I pursue the self-advancement as far as taking on more leadership in the home than I should, because our family should be further along than it is, and you won't do it, so I'm going to do it, and look at me, I'm better. Now we're back to thinking of the other person as lower.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Pursuing success without God's blessing or direction.
That just sounds dangerous to me.
Well, you know, and that's where even this advice from Bible studies or the web pages and things like that comes into play, because I need to really be speaking to the Lord about, am I at that place? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Mm-hmm. Or is it just because somebody else said that this was a good way for a Christian wife to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got friends who the husband, he works outside the home, and mm-hmm. she's a housewife and mother. And he had the availability to pursue a different position within his company, and it would have been more pay,
right?
Some more responsibility. And I was really impressed by how together he and his wife together prayed about, you know, is this something I'm supposed to pursue? Is it not? And you know, so it was a really neat godly example of, you know, just. Not just jumping on it, but really seeking the Lord and what his direction was. And so that was neat. And he did end up getting the, you know, going for the promotion and getting it. But
But he honored the Lord in it. And he honored his wife.
Yes.
Because he was willing to say, we will go wherever God sends us.
Mm-hmm. So that was a really neat example to see.
Yeah. Then we want to go to... refusing to give up personal rights.
Yes.
You know, we are in a culture, again, this whole me generation, it's all about my personal rights, not what's for the greater good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's so much about rights going on.
Right. Personal rights.
Well, yeah, in our culture, and I don't think this is the discussion where we want to get into, you know, like decisions of the Supreme Court and all that about personal rights, but... You know,
we
but
may
it,
have to do a show on that, though.
Yeah, but it does seem to be rampant. Mm-hmm. Well, it's all about me, and I have the right to do this, and I have the right to do that. And
you know, so, in some of this, Catherine, I see it super magnified in what are called these codependency classes that you go to a church, and a lot of women will go to them because they feel like when they're serving their husbands, they're codependent, like their whole identity is so caught up in it. And so they go to these codependency classes, and I see the women come out with selfish hearts.
Okay.
That it's all about me and I'm not going to let you do anything. So then I try to connect them to care, and I get things like, well, I'm not going to do that for him. That would just be me being codependent again and letting him get away with everything. And it's like, no, it's caring for another human being, you know. So those classes end up frustrating me.
Okay.
And no, yeah, you shouldn't run around just letting people get away with sin and bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it should be done with a loving, kind heart that says, now that you recognize what you've done and that that's not okay, I'm still going to continue to care and serve you in other ways that are healthy.
Right, right. In healthy ways.
In healthy ways.
Yeah.
So really quickly, wanting to control others is a pride, talking about myself most of the time when having conversations. You know, it's all about me. You're doing this to me. Why can't you care about me? Focusing on my abilities and achievements and making sure others know about them, making sure your husband knows what a great wife you are and look at how much I care and I'm always trying to fix problems and you're doing nothing.
Right.
Going into self-pity and feeling sorry for myself when I'm not appreciated. And you just don't appreciate me. Woe is me.
Yeah. Some of those sound like kind of what we've talked about before.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
About not being appreciated.
Focusing mainly on my knowledge and experience. Well, I read my Bible and I know this and I go to Bible study. So I have this knowledge. And, you know, you just use it as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And then excluding God and others with an attitude of self-sufficiency. And that's where a lot of people get into trouble who are out working and in the world is like, look at how hard I'm working and look at what I'm doing. And you don't appreciate anything because I'm doing this. And it's like, did you ever ask God to help you with that?
Right, right. I can handle this problem. I can handle it.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no sitting together and praying and connecting like you talked about with your friend. So Catherine, you know, one of the main things when we do in a marriage intensive here at Dunamis Center Ministries is trying to help people to understand the damage in each other's hearts, the empty places,
mm-hmm.
and how to care for the other person's heart in a way that brings about that softness and healing.
Right.
So that then I can step out of pride because you're caring for me. I don't need to focus on me, and I can focus on you, and now you're getting cared for, so you don't need to focus on you. And you can focus on me. And now we've got this whole thing of, you know, caring for ourselves and others.
Yes.
And it's getting fulfilled. And it's really beautiful to see it happening.
Yes.
And so this is kind of some ways that our selfishness ruins our marriages.
Right. I bet it's very rewarding for you to see that in your office.
It's
see couples get it and...
It's
really?
It's an exciting moment, but
yeah.
I have to be honest, there's about 15% that will never get it because they cannot let go of their self-focus. It is truly like somebody will say, what are our chances? And I will tell you, you have a 100% chance of having an exciting marriage if both of you will stop being so selfish and go where I take you on how to care for each other. They just look at me shocked. When it doesn't work, they're like, why didn't it work? And I said, because you're too selfish. You won't give up your personal rights.
I said,
and they don't like it. But
if you choose to care for each other.
Right.
And stop thinking about yourself all the time.
Right.
Yep.
And forgive and let go of the past and release pride.
Mm-hmm.
You have a 100% chance of having a really good marriage under God.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
cool.
This is obviously one of my favorite topics is how to help marriages. And the heart of the church is so damaged because of this.
Yeah.
So let's get our hearts right with each other. Then we'll talk about getting our hearts right with our children and in the church, too.
Amen.
I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we'll talk to you next week.